All right. This is, I'm going to read verses 24 and 26 again. This is my text for today. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And our Father and our God, we come before you today with these verses and ask that you would be with us during this meeting, glorify yourself, and draw us close to thee. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I call this sermon Fruit of the Spirit number 5. Not the fifth fruit. There's just one fruit. But this is my fifth sermon on the fruit of the Spirit. Now, it's fruit of the Spirit number 5, since it is in the same context of listing spiritual fruit. We could say the same about the works of the flesh, were it not for the fact that the one opposes the other. For example, here is Galatians 5, 16 through 23. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are the contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things you would. And drop on down to verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. We've repeated that, and repetition aids learning, as Linda says. But that leads us back to verse 24, where we begin to learn about walking in the Spirit rather than walking in the flesh and its lusts. How in the world do we walk in the Spirit? I think that's a good question. Well, it's not in the world that we learn to walk in the Spirit. It's in Jesus Christ. In other words, we must be what? We must be saved. We must be born again before we can walk in the Spirit of God. That's why it's not in the world, but in Christ. In other words, we must be Christian before we can walk in God's Spirit. And apart from the Spirit, there's no fruit of the Spirit. That concept is something of which we are familiar. For example, one has the Spirit of God living within him. For without the Spirit of God, one is not Christian. He may be in the visible church, but he's not in the true church, not in the invisible church of God, of Jesus Christ. So, prerequisite for walking in the Spirit is possession of the Spirit. And once one has this God's Spirit, he is to crucify the flesh and its wicked desires. Kind of hard to do. But when that is done, corrupt passions of the soul have been put to death, that is, destroyed, and are as though they were dead. You're still depraved in sin and desperately wicked, who can know it? But the lusts of the flesh are destroyed and are as though they were dead and have no power over us. Note Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Paul wrote, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And my first main point is, crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ, Paul wrote. And in Galatians chapter 2, verse 19, Paul said that he was dead. In verse 20, he tells us what he meant. And he shows us that he didn't wish to be understood as saying that he was inactive, or that he was literally insensible to the needs of others. It was in respect to the works of the flesh that Paul was dead. But to all that was truly great and godly, Paul was alive. To understand the phrase, I am, or the sentence, I am crucified with Christ, is to say that this was the way in which Christ was put to death. He was crucified. I'm crucified with him. He suffered on the cross and thus became literally dead. His suffering was his crucifixion. Oh, he suffered when he left his throne in glory to come to earth. From his incarnation to his crucifixion, Christ suffered. But from his incarnation on, he had his eye on that cross, marching straight to that cruel tree. Had he not died on the cross, we wouldn't be forgiven. We wouldn't be saved. But we are cleansed by his blood poured out on the cross. And he was the only one who could spill his blood in an effective way. If you don't believe me, try it for yourself. No, don't try it. Don't try it. And the reason is that our blood, yours and mine, is common blood. His blood was uncommon blood. Further, his blood is precious blood. 1 Peter 1, 17 and 18 tell us this. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Christ's precious blood brings salvation to you and to me and to anyone who is the elect of God. No one else could do what he did. So he did what he did. Doesn't that make you love him more? Listen to me. We needed forgiving. We needed him. And we still need him for daily cleansing with his so precious, uncommon blood. We are crucified with Christ. So put away the things of the flesh, so that we might be filled with the Spirit of God. Crucified with Christ. Next is alive in Christ. How can that be? I mean, we're crucified with Christ, but we're alive in Christ. Paul doesn't use the word alive in Christ. Instead, Paul wrote, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. One can do neither without Christ. So, in effect, he did say, alive in Christ. In effect, he said, alive in Christ. Christians profess to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And by the Spirit's influence and agency, our life becomes spiritual. And we profess not to be under the dominion of the flesh. Thus, we're not controlled by the lusts of the flesh. Therefore, let us live in a manner as if we believed that. Let us yield ourselves to the Spirit's influence to show that we are controlled by God's Spirit. Do you realize it was God's Spirit that brought you here today? You yielded yourself to the Spirit and in you walked. Some of us have been trying to go to sleep ever since, but not right now. Let's wake up. Thus, we're not controlled by the lust of the flesh. Let us yield ourselves to the Spirit's influence to show that we are controlled by the Spirit, God's Spirit. Note Ephesians 5, 16 through 19. Ephesians 5, verse 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. We can continue that passage, but this is enough to give us important truth about being filled with the Spirit. For example, we know from this passage what the will of the Lord is for everyone in this room. There's no doubt about it. And the will of the Lord is for us not to be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Listen, when we're filled with God's Spirit, we'll be speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Sometimes you'll be whistling Amazing Grace and you'll not even know it. Until all of a sudden it comes to your mind, what am I doing? That's Amazing Grace. And I've been whistling it all the time or singing it inside. For being filled with the Spirit makes it impossible not to obey verse 19. Further, being filled with the Spirit will cause us to crucify the flesh and the affections thereof and the lusts. The question is, how do we become filled with the Spirit? The first thing is to put away wine, booze, or whatever you want to call it, beer. About 6 months before I was saved, that's what I did. I never drank much, but I got rid of the drink anyway. In my mind, this was my reasoning. I took a look at my running mates and found that they were people who loved to drink to the point of excess. I told myself, I didn't want to be like that. So I dumped the booze. I think God had something to do with that, though I wasn't saved at the time. And it was complete abstinence for me, and it's been that way ever since. Now, I don't preach complete abstinence, though I recommend it. If you want to be filled with the Spirit, you can't be drunk with wine. But the verse goes further than that. For example, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. That's the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Let Christians, when they're about to indulge in a glass of wine or whatever, think of this admonition. Don't be filled with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Let them remember that their bodies are to be temples of the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Ghost, rather than receptacles of intoxicating drink. I'm not going to shoot you if you drink a beer or if you cook with wine. But let me ask you, was any man ever made a better Christian by using wine? Was any minister better able to counsel a sinner or to pray or to preach the gospel by the use of intoxicating drinks? Now let's look at that on the opposite side for a bit. Who may be said to be filled with the Spirit instead of wine when the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Spirit? He deals with us in soberness. Then to be filled with the Spirit, one must not ever quench the Spirit. We're not to quench the person of the Spirit, neither the graces of the Spirit, which may be compared to the fruit of the Spirit. To put it in a literary way, we must fan the flame of faith, and faith is the light in the soul where one sees the Son of God and also sees the evidence of things not seen. Did you get that? You want me to repeat it? Some said yes. Okay, here we go. To put it in a literary way, we must fan the flame of faith. And faith is as a light in the soul where one sees the Son of God and also sees the evidence of things not seen. Now, I don't know where I got that, but I sort of like it. In other words, this is what he sees. He sees love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, and temperance. Against such, there's no law, which is where this series began. So if you sense the fruit of the Spirit at work in you, don't run from him. Instead, run to the Spirit, saying, you want the work of the Spirit of God working in you, sanctifying you, making you more like Jesus. So we're crucified with Christ. We're crucified in Christ, alive in Christ. Next, we're humble in Christ. Look at verse 26. Galatians 5:26, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And if we don't desire vainglory, the reason is that we're humble before Christ. We love him, and you know what? We love his people. We would see the brethren prosper in Christ. I want the best for all Christians. I'm sure you do too. But right now, look around to see if there is someone whom you don't pray in this room. If you find him, put him at the top of your prayer list, saying, God, this person is your child. Forgive me, forgive my not praying for him, and help me to remember him in my prayers. He needs prayer just as much as I do. In fact, I probably need prayer more than he does. God, stand by him and show yourself strong in his behalf. Protect him in the days ahead, and here's why. All your children need protection. Let me tell you, the left is on a rampage under Satan's orders. Stand by your children, Lord God, and show your people your good. Show yourself strong in protecting your people, Lord. Now, if you can't think of what to pray, Pray the Lord's Prayer. Pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And if you like, when you pray that, you can substitute his name for our or for us throughout the prayer. For example, lead Linda not into temptation, but deliver her or Linda from evil. Listen, this is a prayer the Lord taught his disciples to use. It has not lost its luster, its power over the years, so use it. Use it daily, praying for people in this congregation, for some of those who are not here today on vacation or wherever they are who are sick. Pray for them with this prayer or with some other method that you use. Pray for your loved ones who need help. Not just the people in this congregation, but for your loved ones. The people whom you meet on the street. People who need God's grace. You don't have to let them know that you pray for them. You can if you want. But don't expect earthly reward for telling them that you're praying for them. Note verses at the beginning of that chapter, Matthew 6, 1 through 4. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Pray for them. You don't have, you can if you want. Tell them about it. But you don't have to tell them. God is keeping score right now. He knows what's going on, and he cares for you and for the one whom you've neglected or I've neglected. Pray for him and for you and for the people of this church right here. You don't have to use my example, especially when you know how to pray for others. And that's why we come together, so that we can learn the needs of others. Spiritual, medical, physical, financial needs. Help you to know how to pray for others. I'm just giving you this example to help you to remember to pray for me and for others. In that regard, let's pray. Our Father and our God, we come to thee again in the name of the Lord Jesus. You've heard what's going on in this service. You know everything about us. And you know that we need prayer. And you know that we need you, Lord. We pray that you bless each person here today in such a way that he might sense your presence, that he might understand the need that others have for prayer. We pray that he might even understand the need he has, that I have, to walk in the Spirit and not be filled with the wine, but to be filled with the Spirit of God. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.